call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is hour number two rolling along on a Monday. Glad you could be with us, SportsMap Radio. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk, will also join us to go over some of the games in Week 16 on Sunday, Saturday, Thursday, and even tonight when the Miami Dolphins take on the New Orleans Saints, the Superdome, both teams at 7-7. Yesterday's big game was Buffalo going to Foxborough to take on the Patriots, trying to get a split of the season series after the Patriots had won in Buffalo just a couple of weeks before. It was not a good day for Mac Jones. He was 14 of 32, 145 yards, two interceptions. It was a day in which Buffalo, with an outstanding performance from Josh Allen, really could have just dominated that entire game. I mean, they looked like they did, but the score was still a little tight. But it was 33-21. It could have been a lot bigger than that. Look, the Patriots won seven in a row, and Mac Jones had some good games during that stretch, including the game against Tennessee. But for the most part, he has been a game manager this year. It's the best way to describe him. They don't want him to do a lot. They don't need him to do a lot. They've got a very good defense. They had a very good running game. But he's had his moments. I mean, listen, I know to say a guy has been a game manager without giving him some credit for some of his performances this season, I think doesn't do him justice. But that's pretty much the reality if we're talking in sort of general terms. That's not going to work in the postseason. This is the one thing that sort of happens in this league. And you see it in baseball, too. A young pitcher comes up, does really well. But after a while, batters start figuring it out. And I think with the Patriots is that teams can start figuring this out. Make Mac Jones pressure him into throwing into tight windows, because he cannot do that very well. That can come later, but it's not coming now. And the Patriots could be easily one and done in the postseason. It looks like they'll get in. They got to play the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Miami Dolphins to close out the year. So it looks like they'll be fine. They won't be, you know, losing both of those games and be struggling to find a spot. It looks like they'll be in the postseason, but they could be quickly out of this thing. If they need their quarterback to step up in the playoffs, he might not be able to do that, given what defenses are starting to see, especially what Buffalo was able to do in Sunday's game. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next. And, of course, Josh Alper will talk more NFL as we continue. Glad you could be with us on a Monday as we roll through. Hope you had a good holiday at SportsMap Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. We had a week of none of these, so we got a lot of catching up to
none?
Do.
None?
None. See, Sean just doesn't roll that way when you're
good. Yeah, I know.
You know, he's like, He's like, that's the wrong thing. I go, that's good.
It's a hard process.
I know it is a hard process. Yeah, so what is the good of the day?
Well, the good of the day, I absolutely love this story. Because I don't know if you heard, but the Saints reached out to Drew Brees.
They did. I saw this. Yeah. Yeah. Tried to get him to come back.
To see if he was interested in a little comeback tour to finish out the season. Because, you know, the Saints are hurting at quarterback. And all he did was responded by texting a picture of himself golfing.
Yeah, good for him. Good for Drew Brees. Don't get caught into that trap.
Right.
Don't. You know what? I know athletes like they miss it, and they do the Brett Favre thing where they just like, I retire, and then they unretire. But I think the best advice, if you're an agent, is to give your client, when you retire, stay retired.
Stay retired.
It doesn't usually work out that well. Now, it has for some. Don't get me wrong. Some have gone, come back and, you know, been on championship teams, right?
Yeah.
Like, it played a minor role, but been on championship teams. But for the most part, if you're a betting man, bet on it not working out as well as you think it's going to.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think the NBA was all like, woohoo, Joe Johnson is back.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But, you know, have you really heard anything? I mean, what's he really doing?
No, nothing.
And if you were a star like Drew Brees, you can't risk
it. Can't do it.
You can't risk it. But I can understand where the Saints are coming from. Here's a tweet from Adam Schefter. Saints are signing quarterback Blake Bortles.
Yeah, that's how
to serve as the backup quarterback to Ian Brooks for tonight's game.
So yeah, Ian Brooks is starting tonight, and that's the third one they've now.
Yeah,
number three since Jameis Winston went down with an injury.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how this league works. But yeah, if you're Breeze, you go no, thank you. Good luck to you. Thanks.
But it just cracks me up. I mean, you purposely go out to find Blake Bortles.
Yeah, well, didn't Phillip Rivers say he was available to come back at any for anybody? Or is he still kind of tied to Indianapolis?
I think he's done.
Yeah, I think so too. That never panned out.
Yeah, I don't think that really. I don't think anything's going
to
happen from
but
that.
But is he technically tied to Indianapolis? Because you can't have a system where players can be like, I don't want to play for this team anymore. I know, I'll retire, and then I change my mind, and now I get to be a free agent. I think you're still tied to your.
But is there a sport that does that? Is that just NFL? I feel like we've gone down that road before.
I think
where players retired because they just didn't want to play anymore. And
now don't get me wrong. Like a team can say no. You can go wherever you want. We're done with you.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for retiring. We're done. You want to play for somebody else? Go ahead.
But didn't Gronk kind of do that? I mean, he kind of sat out a year.
Yeah.
Retired, sat out a year, and then was like, oh, I'll go to Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. I think you have to have a certain period of time, and then you can go through it. I don't know what the rule is. So, but yeah, good for Drew Brees. He's got a nice gig.
Nah,
don't mess with it. Pays well. You get to sit in a studio.
Yeah,
get to talk football.
Grew some hair.
Yeah, exactly. Play some golf. Live off that big wad of cash you've accumulated since your playing days.
You know, I mean, he set all those records just to have Tom Brady break them. But I mean, if he comes back and finishes out the season, he's not catching up to any of those records.
He's fine.
Yeah. He's got a gold jacket coming. That's all we know.
That's right. All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is actually the bad of last week. I'm sure you touched on it. The NHL pausing its season.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
You know, did you know that they're starting back up tomorrow?
Yeah. The
that's really the bad part.
It is.
NHL. We've talked about this before in the past. When they canceled their full season, I think that. It was like they SMU'd themselves. When they were on that strike.
Right.
And now it just seems like they've never been able to get a foothold.
Well, the thing about them is they shut down and it was really bad, right? Games were getting canceled. They said, forget it.
Yeah.
We're done. Like the holidays are coming. Let's just shut this down. Everybody come back Sunday and Monday. And I'm like, man, that's short. That's like a short period of time. You think you can get this together quickly? Yeah, it's a weird situation for them. But you're right. They're coming back today, right? How many games?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
I knew some teams were planning to come back Monday, and then those games got postponed.
So let's see. I was looking at it earlier. I think there's three games slated for tomorrow. But even on Wednesday, three games slated for tomorrow. But one game is already canceled for tomorrow. Columbus versus Chicago.
What a mess.
That's already postponed.
And they're dealing more. They deal more with it than the NBA because the NBA has got one team in Canada. They have obviously a lot more. They're dealing with international stuff.
It's Columbus versus Chicago. That has nothing to do with Canada.
Yeah, but I mean overall.
Yeah.
They're doing things by the league because they're also in Canada too. So,
I mean, you know, there's two games on Wednesday, and one's in Toronto, one's in Ottawa. Both are postponed.
Yeah. Oy.
But there is a game going on Wednesday in Winnipeg, so they got that going for them.
I saw the Buffalo Sabres coach is in COVID. Like, who isn't, right?
Yeah. Is that even news anymore?
I don't know.
Seriously, when you hear someone's like, you know, so-and-so is going to have to sit out the game because they're COVID. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Goodness gracious. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Because of COVID, a Japanese inventor, I don't know what the purpose of this is, but he invented a lickable TV screen.
Why?
Because for those people who are in COVID who've been isolated and, you know, can't get out and, you know, taste stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Can you get a taste off? Is this smell-o-vision like in Willy Wonka taste-o-vision?
It's taste-o-vision.
Sending a chocolate bar through the TV?
Well, you're not sending a chocolate bar. You can lick it, and it's like, ooh, it tastes like chocolate.
You can?
That's what it is.
He's sending flavors through television waves?
Says, with Taste of TV, viewers can now enjoy a new sensory addition thanks to a 10-flavor carousel that when combined can imitate specific foods, food flavors from chocolate to pizza.
Okay, so he's invented a TV that's got some sort of flavor adaptation to it.
Yeah.
That will get signals, and then they'll say, like a color wheel.
You're watching.
They'll be like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this is pizza.
Yeah, and you're watching say you're watching the Food Network, and you want to taste whatever's on the screen, you can go and lick your TV.
Okay, so here's what you do. He's got to take this one step further, okay? You need to be able to, once you get that smell-o-vision thing to work, you need to have that same contraption in the remote control that sends it to the remote control, and then the remote control that. Because I'm too lazy to get up and go to my TV and lick the TV to taste a pizza.
Are you telling me that?
I'm sitting in the chair, and it goes, oh, that smells delicious. Let me go up and lick that. No, that's a little too much work. I wish it was on my remote control. Then I would do it.
So are you telling me that there is nothing on that screen that will get you to stand up and go, I need to lick the TV right now?
Very rarely, man. Listen, let me tell you a funny thing. I'm kind of famous in my family for this. I kid you not. I was sitting in the chair. I had it fully reclined, and I was looking for the remote, and I couldn't find it. And I looked, and for whatever reason, I still don't know how it got there, the remote was on the TV stand next to the TV, where it should be by the couches.
Right.
I heard my son walking in the hallway, and I said, can you come here for a second? And then I made up some story I just had to tell him, and then I said, oh, and by the way, can you get me the remote? That's how lazy I was.
Yeah.
Like, I literally made up something. I didn't even know what it was. It was just something made up. Like, I forgot to tell you this, this, and this. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, yeah, Mom wanted me to tell you that. Total lie. And then I just went, and can you get the remote while it's sitting over there?
Hey, you know what? Honestly, there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
I've done that too many times as well.
I'm like, I'm not getting up out of this. I've got it in the perfect reclining position. Why would I get up?
Yep.
Like I'm
no, when you
get,
find hey, when you find that sweet spot,
right? Like, I'm not gonna get this sweet spot again. I'm gonna unrecline the chair, get up, walk to get the remote, go back to the chair, sit down. Then I'm like trying to find it again. I'm not gonna be able to find it.
I have sat through a program I did not want to watch because I was too comfortable to get up.
See, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at right now. So, yeah, no.
Or you play the game that you're reclined, you can't find the remote, something's on the TV. It's like, well, I have my phone. Twitter, how are we doing right now?
Oh, God. So, yeah, if I saw a key lime pie on TV, I'd be like, oh, I got two choices to make. Do I lick the screen or
don't think it's something that we need.
No, absolutely.
I don't think there's nothing that unless
it
can
things like this.
Unless it can, you know, pop out that pie. You know, this is what I want, all right? If you're watching something on Food Network and they're doing like some amazing pasta dish, give me a TV or a computer or something like that can pop that thing out for me. So I'm like, yeah, that's what I wanted to have right now. Cuz yeah. I'll tell you this, I've watched a lot of watched a lot of Hell's Kitchens in my day. With Gordon Ramsay. I really, really want to try a beef Wellington.
Of course.
That thing looks amazing.
It really does look good.
But there's no Gordon Ramsay restaurant near me, and I don't know how I'm going to ever try one. I'm not going to attempt to make one because I won't know.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, well, all right. Well, we'll see if that catches on in the good old US of A.
I don't think so. It's just Japan. Japan always invents weird things.
Exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Josh Alper is going to join us, Pro Football Talk, coming up in about 17 minutes. We'll talk to him about the NFL Week 16 as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up in our next segment, Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk, will join us to talk about what we just saw this past weekend in the NFL. Two games on Saturday, rest of the schedule Sunday, Monday Night Football tonight between the Dolphins and the Saints. Hey, the holiday gift guide continues to be around for O'Reilly Auto Parts, they have something for everyone on your list with prices under $15, like a pair of mechanics wear black-coated winter gloves, a Power Torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a Slime digital tire gauge, and much more. Check out the holiday gift guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. If you're still late on the gifts or maybe looking for yourself because shopping time is now. How many gift cards I got for Christmas? I got like five.
Yeah. Now take advantage of the sales.
Yeah, take advantage of the sales.
It's always sales this week.
Exactly. Exactly. I like this is a wild week because it's kind of like a holiday week, but it's not really a holiday week, but it's kind of like in between.
Oh, it feels like a holiday week here. There's absolutely no one in the building.
No one in the building. That's great. Real quick, before we get to more NFL, I saw Spider-Man No Way Home. No spoilers. It was good. I'll just tell you it was good. That's all.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really a spoiler because there's about a couple million people who are agreeing with you.
Yeah,
I haven't heard one person say that was terrible.
My sister's my go-to. Like, she really loves movies. It's her thing, and she sees a lot of them. And so she'll immediately text me. She'll say, I saw this movie. I think you'd like it. I don't always agree with her. Like, she liked Wonder Woman 1984, which was the worst movie I had ever seen in my life, and she liked it for some weird reason. But she saw it and then immediately texted me and said, you need to go see this movie as soon as possible. Because she was like, I want to talk to you about it. So I went Wednesday, took the kids Wednesday. And we had a great time. But you know what was cool? It was packed. The theater was packed. It felt like it was before. And I have,
the before time.
Here's the thing. I have not been nervous about going to the theater or anything. I live in Tennessee. We are as back to normal as you can get. I mean, hardly anybody wears masks in stores or anything like that. But I haven't gone to the movies very often since the shutdown of 2020.
Yeah.
I've gone to one. And that was, I saw James Bond. It was a matinee, and it wasn't during a holiday week. And it was just one afternoon, and it was empty. And so I haven't experienced a theater where there's a line that you like get in there because you got to get your seats or are you going to be sitting in the front row, that kind of thing. And this was as close to that. The last movie I saw in the theater before the shutdown was the Skywalker movie, The Return of Skywalker, whatever it was called, Rise of Skywalker. And that was the last one I saw. I saw it in December of 2019, didn't go to the movies. Then we had the shutdown of 2020, and went to go see James Bond in this. Those were the last three movies I saw since December of 2 years ago. But this was as close as I felt to a blockbuster, this is going to be packed, grab your stuff, that kind of thing. Don't go to the bathroom, you know, because you're going to miss out. It was really cool. It was a good experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have a movie theater right around the corner from our house. It's fantastic. It's one of those where all the seats are big, gigantic, oversized leather recliners.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to pick your seat ahead of time. So there is no like,
oh,
you know,
that's great.
No, first come, first serve.
That.
Yeah, you have to pick it out ahead of time. And so we were going to try to see No Way Home, but the only thing we can get was front row. And we've gotten accustomed to that theater always being empty. We've gone a couple of times just because of the fact that it's empty. And, you know, I mean, honestly, too, we can rent out. I don't know if how much longer they're going to have this promotion, but you can rent out the theater for like $100, $120.
Yeah, that's what I saw. That one, our theater was doing the same thing.
Yeah, like I don't know how much. As long as people are going to start going back, they're probably going to get rid of that very quickly.
Right, exactly.
But I mean, I know they've been hurting for money. Yeah, we've gone to the movies a couple of times just because we literally have been the only ones in the theater. I think when we saw Ghostbusters Afterlife, it was my family, and I think there was another family in there, and that was it.
Yeah, when I saw the James Bond movie, it was like me and like five other people.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I went midday.
Yeah, I mean, same with us.
Everybody's in the office. Nobody
same with us.
There,
but I've driven by that place because, you know, our grocery store is right there, too. And I've driven by that place a couple of times, and it's been like three cars in the parking lot. I drove by there last Thursday, it was either last Thursday or last Friday. Not the past week, the week prior to when I took off, I could not believe how packed that parking lot was. Then it was because it was opening night for Spider-Man, and it felt good. It was like, this is amazing.
The interesting thing is we talked about this with theaters, right? Like whether or not if movies are going to be like, hey, we're going to put it on HBO Max, or you can rent this for $30 or whatever it is. And I remember being really hesitant to think because I think there is something cool about going to the movie theater.
There is.
Whereas you just, like, no matter how good your setup is at your house, there's still something pretty awesome about going to a theater.
Well, we've talked. It's the romance of it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. That's what it is. I think that's very hard to pull away, like, from people. Like, where, yeah, okay, maybe I don't go do a couple of things anymore. But I think movie theaters were the thing that people were kind of waiting. Like, I really want to go back to that. I really want to stand in line and get my very expensive popcorn and go into that theater and sit in that chair and that big screen and that big sound and watch a movie. And it was good. So, again, I would recommend it if you're into that kind of movie. I know some people aren't into superhero movies. I get it. But if you are and you like that kind of movie, it's fun. It was very it ran all through the different emotions. It was good. Good movie.
Well, I mean, but something like this, right, where we talked about, you know, whether or not theaters were going to survive. Matrix Resurrections, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah.
That should be a huge blockbuster film, but you can watch it at home on HBO Max.
Yeah, that's right.
My wife started it yesterday. I'm like, no, don't start this now, honey. It's too late. We're going to get totally involved, totally into it. You know, I'm working on no sleep anyways. I'm not used to waking up again. I got to sleep in for a whole week. And, but it was, you know, it just amazed me. I was like, didn't this movie just come out in theaters? Like, that's what I was feeling like.
Yeah,
like,
I think so, yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, and maybe it's just you and I, like, our upbringing where, you know, you knew that if a movie came out, and it usually was a Disney-type movie, a kid movie, where it was, like, straight to DVD, you're like, that's not a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, where it went straight to that. But it's this new era now where we have you if you have a paid streaming service like an HBO Max type thing, you can get the movie at the same time while it's in theaters.
That's right. That's right. So,
but, you know, Spider-Man was never going to be like that.
I had a great time. You know what? I never want to see a movie again in the theater. I'm not that person. Never. But I would. I would go see this one more time in the theater. I thought it was that cool. Was that fun? So, Michael on Twitter, my wife and I went to the movies on Christmas Day to see American Underdog. We went to one of the studio movie grills with a full menu. The place was packed. It was really good. Yeah, I've been hearing American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story, is pretty good.
Yeah.
I've been hearing that's pretty good. I'll be flat honest with you. When I saw the trailer for that, I said, that's going to be, I didn't think it was going to be a good movie. I thought it was going to be like a Hollywoodization,
yeah,
if that's a word, of the Kurt Warner story, where they were gonna Rudyize it a little bit more than what actually happened. But people are saying it's pretty accurate. Kurt Warner obviously loved it because it's his story and it's his movie. But they say it's really good. So I will probably see that.
Need to know from Michael I can't remember, what was the arena football team? It was like Iowa something, right?
Yeah, it was like the Barn Burners, yeah, or something, yeah.
Did all the players lay down their jerseys like, right, they did? That's what I heard that happened. I'm not sure.
Kurt Warner's amazing. Kurt Warner, when you look at his career now, right, where
his
star and his everything. I mean, just to go from nothing to everything that quickly, it just rarely happens.
I mean, literally from bagging groceries to, you know, Super Bowl MVP.
Winning a Super Bowl.
In what, 5 years?
Yeah. It is so hard to picture yourself sometimes in those roles, right? Where you find yourself like, how did I get here? And sometimes because, you know, it doesn't matter what journey you're on, what company you're working for, what business you're in, what industry you're in, or even personal life where you might find yourself alone on, you know, on all the dating sites. And then a year later, you're married, you know, and expecting a child or something. Like, you know what I mean? Everyone's on that journey.
Yeah.
That is so wild for him to go from, again, right, bagging the groceries, wondering, like, there's a window of time that you can make it in the NFL as a quarterback. And then when it passes, very, like, every day that clicks is a day less of you being able to do that. And he found the right window, found the right opportunity. That door was open and he became a Hall of Fame quarterback. And now, not only that, he became such a household name that putting him in the media was a cool thing to do, and letting him be studio analyst. Like, it made sense, right? Because he had three Super Bowl appearances in his career, two with the Rams and one with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You know, he just...
I'm prefacing it this way. The terrible thing is he's a good analyst, too.
Yeah, he's a good analyst, too. Exactly. Exactly.
Like, save some for the rest of us, Kirk.
Exactly. Josh Alper joins us next. We'll talk week 16 of the NFL as Wake Up Call continues.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 16 weeks almost in the books for the NFL. Monday Night Football tonight, New Orleans taking on Miami. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Josh Alper joins us, profootballtalk.com. How are you, my friend?
Doing great.
So let's talk about the big game yesterday between Buffalo and New England and the two quarterbacks. And this is kind of a two-part question. Josh Allen in a game that people felt like he really did need to win, even though it was more just getting back to tightness with the New England Patriots. And then Mac Jones. Where do you see both quarterbacks after this particular game?
Well, I think that with Mac Jones, I think that, you know, that was the big, you know, the big knock on Buffalo after that first game is they didn't make Mac Jones beat them. And I think they did that yesterday, and it didn't work. And it didn't work for New England, and it didn't work against Indianapolis the week before. And so I think we're seeing that there's still some steps to take for Mac Jones, and we see how carefully that the Patriots crafted an offense around him, and kudos to them for how well it's worked. But that to take that next step, Mac Jones needs to take that next step. And, you know, it's unnatural to expect a rookie not to have those kinds of struggles. So I think that there's nothing to be overly alarmed about if you're New England, other than the fact that, you know, you're settling back to more of the team I think everybody expected at the beginning of the season, and maybe got a little entranced by that winning streak to say that they were ahead of schedule. On the Buffalo side, I think this is getting back to the Buffalo team we expected to see all year. And it was a very impressive performance by Allen. And I think Isaiah McKenzie stepping up huge for them as a receiver and using everybody and using the entire field and getting back to those kinds of approaches on offense is a really good sign for them.
When you look at the AFC and you see Kansas City winning eight straight, and that's a team that you're starting to realize, okay, maybe this is the team that's, all right, they're coming together, the early season struggles are behind them, they're starting to look like the Chiefs of old. But every team has gone through their sort of ups and downs. Do you feel Buffalo, this is a turn corner type of game, or is there still a feeling like maybe they go back to struggling a bit or finding things that are wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that, you know, teams are going to try and bully them up front. And I think that there's still a sense that they're vulnerable to that. And I think they still have to show week after week that they can stand up to that. And I think that, you know, is certainly going to come in the playoffs. And if they were to play in Indianapolis, I think that would be, you know, a full strength Indianapolis. I think that would be a really big test of that. But I think that, yes, you're seeing teams that have faced adversity, adjusted, and stepped back and stepped forward. And the teams that do that, and I'd put Tennessee right in that list too after the way they played against San Francisco the other night. I think that you're seeing all these AFC teams sort of recalibrate. I think the Chiefs have done a spectacular job of it, and I think the other teams, the jury's still out a bit. But I think that, yeah, I think that's where we are. And I think the Colts, the Titans, the Bills, and the Patriots are all teams that have a chance to make a real run, but I think the Chiefs have separated themselves a little bit.
Let's get to the Colts, because that was a win again on Saturday. They were down a few people too, like a lot of teams were, but they go on the road and they win, and now looking like one of the hotter teams in the AFC. How dangerous is Indianapolis?
I think they're very dangerous, and I think that, you know, if Carson Wentz plays the way he played on Saturday night, I think they're incredibly dangerous, because that looked like the Carson Wentz that was on his way to winning an MVP in Philly before he blew up his knee. And I know that they're not going to be putting everything in his basket with that offensive line and with Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. But, you know, Frank Reich said in the week, it's almost like he knew what the game was going to be over the weekend, that there are going to be times where they have to rely on Carson Wentz to win a game. And for him to show that he can do it is, I think, enormous for the Colts, for their confidence and for what it does to other teams as they try and game plan for them moving forward.
Sometimes you can get some information on your team when the team sometimes doesn't play particularly well. Matt Stafford struggled, yet the Rams are still getting a road victory there. What did it tell you about the way Los Angeles played?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they have a good defense, and they have a defense that can bail their offense out at times. I think that, you know, I wouldn't want to go into too many games and see your quarterback turn the ball over three times and feel confident about how things are going to play out. So I think it's a little bit of an outlier, and I do think that it's something with the Rams that we've seen their defense at many times this season succeed. I would take more from the other games they lost where Stafford struggles, as this is still a concern that if they're going to have a rough game from their passing game, it's going to be hard for them to win, especially if this Darrell Henderson injury is serious, because, you know, it's a great story with Cam Akers getting back from the torn Achilles, but we don't know that he can play. And if the Rams aren't able to balance out the passing game with a run, then I think it's going to be very hard for them to win multiple games in the postseason.
The one thing about this league has always been the case is that you can play really well and then play the next week and not look like the same team, obviously. But Cincinnati played great. Joe Burrow had great stats. But the Ravens had – there was nobody on that football team on the other side of it. How do you grade how that game actually was for the Bengals?
Yeah, it is tough, and it is that caveat, because the numbers are so eye-popping that you like to believe, you know, it's a division game, you know, divisional title in the mix, and it is hard to get a real read on what that means moving forward for both teams. But I think that for the Bengals, it is every win like that is a little bit more reason to believe. And for a team that is young and a team that hasn't had a history of recent success, all of those things are positives. And you know, it's a very different level, but I'll say that the Jets holding on and beating the Jaguars yesterday, it's, you know, you're beating the Jaguars. You're not doing anything too tremendous. It's still a terrible season for the Jets. But those things matter. Those things build some winning, you know, an identity of how to win. And I think that for the Bengals is super important, especially when you put them in a spot where now you're basically one win away from, you know, getting where you wanted to be at the beginning of the season.
And can we make the same kind of conversation about Dallas? Again, that was an impressive win in terms of the points and what they did statistically. But here's another team that's beat up because of COVID and playing on a short week and not having its full arsenal.
Yeah, and I think for Dallas, that seeing the offense come back to life and seeing that Cowboys offense we saw at the very beginning of the season, you know, they played bad teams and they played the Giants and didn't do anything impressive offensively. They played Washington a couple of weeks ago and were unimpressive offensively. And so to see the offense fire on all cylinders like that has to make them feel like, wow, everything maybe is really rounding into form at exactly the moment we need it to. And I think that, you know, for that, it is, I think, a huge win. And I think a feather in the cap, regardless of the fact that Washington was depleted and, you know, trying to beat themselves up on the sideline at the same time.
How do you read Philadelphia? They're playing some teams that are hurting and are not that good, but they are winning these games 3 in a row at 8-7. How do you read what Nick Sirianni's doing in Philadelphia?
I think the best thing to say about Nick Sirianni as a first-year head coach is he adjusted to what wasn't working, and that, you know, for a team that couldn't run the ball at all early in the season to be the best rushing offense in the league over the last, you know, seven, eight weeks, it is a real sign that he understands what his football team is and how to get the most out of his football team. I still think that, you know, there are questions about Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. I think that the, you know, when you look at them against teams like the Buccaneers and Packers and even the Cowboys, it's hard to see how they measure up in terms of playoff wins. But I think that for the Eagles and for the base of where you want to build a franchise, I think all of these things are really positive signs, because it shows that Nick Sirianni is a coach who's willing to admit that he doesn't know everything and that he doesn't have a cookie cutter system that if everything has to fit into his idea of what a scheme is. He's willing to adapt and change and move. And that, I think, is the most important skill for any head coach to have.
Josh Alper joining us, ProFootballTalk.com on a Progressive guest line. Josh, what's the best read without the sort of extreme fandom that comes from people who go to, you know, hit social media? What's the best way to look at where Baker Mayfield is with Cleveland after that performance against the Packers?
I think that, you know, your Baker Mayfield is a tough read, because he's a guy who there are a lot of quarterbacks you'd rather have than Baker Mayfield, but there aren't there aren't guys readily available who can fill that void. Now you get into the off season and you say, should they make a run at Deshaun Watson? Absolutely. If Russell Wilson were interested in coming to Cleveland, I think you absolutely have to make a move like that. But the flip side is he's a guy who took you to the playoffs last year, and they still have a shot at making the playoffs this year, despite a lot of tough circumstances. We keep coming back to how many teams have these circumstances, so everyone's in that boat. But they keep fighting, and I think he's got all of the leadership qualities you want in a quarterback. He's a guy you want to believe in and a guy that teammates love. But, when the results don't measure up, at some point you have to look for something else. And I think that's where Cleveland is. I just would be hesitant to throw him overboard without a really, really good option coming in to replace him, because as Cleveland knows better than anyone, it's really hard to find a quarterback.
With all of the COVID outs and whatnot, I can sense that there is a little worry from the fans that this could be a postseason where we're getting affected by this. Is the league taking any extra steps to sort of protect the protocols and making sure that we don't get a postseason where half a team is on a COVID list and we have to move a game or two?
Yeah, I mean, I think the league I don't know that they're going to implement something league-wide, but I would think that any team that's looking at a postseason run, I would think is going to be talking very seriously, if they haven't already, they should be talking very seriously about implementing those extreme protocols for themselves and saying to the guys, look, for the next month, your only life is football. And that means no kids' birthday parties, and it means no going out to dinner. It means no dates. It just, those things have to be put on hold, because the football part has to matter more. And that, let's get through this rush. Let's get through this surge that we're seeing around the country right now and get the football season done with. And then we'll reassess from there. But I think I think the NFL should be pushing for that. And I think that, if you're you're the Packers or the Bucks or any of the teams that are already in the playoffs, I would be looking very seriously at putting those kinds of things into place, because I don't think that the NFL is going to have much appetite for moving playoff games around and screwing with that TV money in order to satisfy the competitive balance side of things.
Absolutely. Josh, always good talking to you. Hope you had a really good holiday. Thank you so much again. I appreciate it as always.
Yes. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk on our Progressive guest line. Progressive quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. More on that last statement there when we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com. So that last question, I think, is sort of a big issue. Look, here's the thing. We just had two outstanding performances by two teams, and two quarterbacks in particular, that have to be sort of add like an addendum to their performances, that they were playing teams riddled with COVID and a depleted roster. Joe Burrow, 4 touchdowns, 525 yards through the air against a Ravens team that literally has nobody. I mean, they're just destroyed. Their secondary is nothing, right? And then the Cowboys last night played a Washington team that was on a short week and also riddled with COVID, and they demolished them 56-14 behind 4 touchdowns from Dak Prescott. Now, normally, these would be two performances we would say, hey, wow, look at this. What are we doing here, right? How about you, Dallas 11-4? That was for real. Wake up. Eyes are open now. Cincinnati, ready to take over that division? Wow, look at you beating the Ravens. But we can't. We can, because both teams are dealing with both a combination of injuries and a combination of COVID. Is that what you want your playoffs to be? Because I don't, right? I don't want the playoffs to be, well, this team has barely got a roster together, but they got to play. And here we are in the playoffs. So, look, I'm not a big, huge, shutdown, lockdown, bubble kind of guy, but I am nervous about this. It seems like what we've been seeing over the last week or so is really not good.
right? We moved three games last week. Three. The NFL said at the beginning of the season wasn't going to move one. And we moved three in 1 week. We had two games Monday. One was, you know, obviously scheduled. And then two on Tuesday. So I am a little concerned. Is you could tell last night, right? Look, Washington is not a playoff team, even when it's full strength. But they had a shot. They had a shot. They had won a couple of games in a row, put themselves in a different, you know, position. But the Ravens were, right? When the Ravens have Lamar Jackson, Marcus Peters, and everybody, they're a very, very good football team. That's not the team that played Cincinnati yesterday.
Right.
That is absolutely not even close to the team that played Cincinnati yesterday. And that's not what I want to see in the postseason. And I could have seen that in the postseason. Both of those teams have records that would have put them in the playoffs.
And we could still see it right in the postseason. I mean, it's, you know, there's still more time left.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Johnson at quarterback, a defense with a bunch of guys I've never heard of. Like, it's not the Ravens, right? It's not the Ravens. And don't get me wrong. I want to make this clear. You can obviously, injuries can occur. Brady could go down with an ACL, and that affects the Buccaneers. I get it. Phil Simms went down. Jeff Hostetler had to be the quarterback, right? We saw, what was it a couple of years ago? Was it the Raiders or was it the Texans? That game where a third-string quarterback had to play the playoff game. A couple of years ago. Remember that? Those happen. Yeah. And we understand
that. Raiders.
Yeah, I think it was the Raiders. They had to go with a third string quarterback. We get it. Those things happen. Those are part of football. But COVID, if we can just tighten this up a little bit so we don't have guys out because of COVID, so that Brady is throwing to receivers that aren't out because of COVID, or the Ravens aren't out because of all of those things, it's going to make a better postseason, even if it means more tougher measures on these teams as we head down the stretch.